If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn to Matthew chapter 6, maybe as well hold the place in John chapter 12. We're really going to be all over in Scripture. We'll read first from Matthew, we'll end up and keep referencing John 12. So, two good places for you to have opened in your Bible. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus gives this instruction: seek the kingdom of God above all else. More than anything else, let His kingdom, put His kingdom, make His kingdom to be first in your life. One translation says it this way: the thing you should want more than anything else, above everything else, the thing you should want, God's kingdom. One says this: your priorities must be God first, God second, and God third. Until your life is continually face to face with God. I read both the words of Jesus and the words of this man, and I can't help but feel therein the attack, therein the compromise of Christianity. We seek His kingdom, we just don't seek it first. More than anything else, above everything else, it's not that that we want. God is a priority, just not first, second, or likely even third. Our lives are running in all kinds of directions, not just in His direction at times, not even in His direction at all. This morning, the message, the reminder, my brother, my sister, it's the kingdom of God above all else. Listen now, it's the kingdom of God before anything else. This is the way it must be. This is the way Scripture demands that it be for you, for me, for God's people, and for God's church. The kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God. One says it this way: the kingdom of God is where what God wants done is done. And the kingdom of God is what Jesus came preaching. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 42, at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for Him, and when they came to where He was, they tried to keep Him from leaving them. But He said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. Very interesting. One says, the primary reason Jesus came to earth was to inaugurate the kingdom of God. Listen, often we hear that the reason Jesus came to the earth was to die on the cross. Jesus did come to die on the cross, but that death on the cross was for the purpose of establishing the kingdom of God. And furthermore, Luke chapter 9 and verse 1, when Jesus had called the 12 together, He gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And He sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Do you understand this morning God's rule and reign? What God wants done, the kingdom of God. What Jesus preached, what Jesus' death was for, what it did, what it accomplished, what it inaugurated, what it brought forth, what it established, the kingdom of God. What you and I, as disciples of Jesus, have been commissioned for, called to, the kingdom of God. Do you understand? Do you see? No wonder then the kingdom above all else. More than anything else, the thing you should want above everything else, the thing that should be, the thing that must be first. Let me share with you a few things this morning. The kingdom of God. First, this, the people. That's you. That's me. It's we who have surrendered our lives to Jesus. You've done that, right? You've acknowledged your sin and sinfulness. You've recognized your need for a Savior. You can't save yourself. No man or woman can. No church can. Religion can't. You can't save yourself. No, no way. You need a Savior. You know it. You've sinned. You're a sinner. And the cost and the consequence of your sin, it's death. It's damnation. It's an eternal hell. And you know it. You can't unsin yourself. You can't just declare and decide, my sin, me a sinner. Well, but I've done some good stuff. So from now on, from this point forward, I pronounce myself not a sinner anymore. No, instead a good person. It doesn't work that way. You can't do that. Listen though. Oh, but the blood of Jesus can. A Savior sent from heaven, the Lamb of God that takes away your sin, He can unsin you, if you will. Declare you no longer a sinner, but instead a child of God, clothed in the righteousness of God's Son. That's what you know. That's what you've done. You've turned to Jesus. You can't take away your own sin. You can't save yourself. So you turn to Him so that He might be your Savior. Listen. You are the people then of God's kingdom. You have believed in your heart. You have confessed with your mouth. You've surrendered your life to Jesus in the context of its definition. You have surrendered yourself to the rule and reign of God over you, over your life, over everything that is your life. Listen, you and all the rest of us who have done the same, all that, you, my brother, my sister, me, we are the people of God. And listen, here it is. Not just that you know the kingdom you belong to, but also this morning that you know the kingdom you don't belong to. Listen, my brother, my sister, you are not of this world. You do not belong to this world. The agenda, the focus, the mindset, the desires, the principles, the priorities, the pursuits, the talk, the attitude, the standards of morality, of right and wrong, the systems, the power and powers, the rule, the way of this world. Listen, it's not you. It's not for you. You are not the people of here. You are the people of there, the people of God's kingdom. And listen, this is where the fight is. We live in this world, surrounded by the world, constantly in contact with the world. Listen, constantly being influenced by the world. I'm going to say it simply this way. That world, it rubs off on us. You would understand for sure you would. Listen, you know it. But the kingdom of God is nothing like this world or its kingdoms. And so the result, having grown a little too comfortable in the world, looking a little too much like the world, the kingdom of God confronts us, confronts what we've grown accustomed to, confronts what we've grown comfortable with. And the result, we sort of find ourselves at a crossroads, if you will, wherein we have to decide, let the kingdom of God, the kingdom of which we are the people, we are the citizens, let the kingdom of God rule and reign in and over us, or reject the kingdom's rule and reign, reject our citizenship there, as it were, and succumb to the pull, the influence of this world. Live like we belong here instead of there. Let me give you an example of what this looks like. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 38, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Jesus comes and preaches the kingdom of God. What he preaches, that's the kingdom. Luke chapter 4 told us that. And this from Matthew chapter 5, this is Jesus preaching. This is his sermon on the mount. This is Jesus preaching. This is then the kingdom of God. Jesus says it like this. Jesus says the kingdom of God, it's like this. Eye for an eye? No. No way. That's what you've heard from the world. But the kingdom is this. You don't resist an evil person. You don't hit back. Slapped once, you stand there and take it. And even take it again. You give even beyond what you're asked. You go further than what's expected. That, all that, listen, that's how you treat an evil person. Love your friend, hate your enemy? No. No way. That's what you've heard from the world. The kingdom is this. You love and you pray. You bless and not curse. Listen now. Your enemy. And to that, to all that, we say, no way. I'm not doing that. I'm not living like that. But he's preaching the kingdom. Do you understand? But that's the kingdom. Do you see the confrontation? Do you recognize the fight? Jesus comes preaching the kingdom. He says, you, the people of the kingdom, because you're in the kingdom, because you belong to the kingdom, you're to live like this. And we say, no, we don't want to live like this. We want to live like that. Because that's more comfortable. That's easier. Treating our enemy like an enemy. That's what we want. That's what the world does. That's what the world has taught us to do. That's become what we're inclined to do. And so the fight, the crossroads, the decision to be made. Let me help you today. Let me remind you once more. Listen, you and I, we don't belong here. This world is not our home, not our kingdom. Its ways are not our ways. We are citizens. We are the people of the kingdom of God. When we were saved, we became that. Now then, as citizens of the kingdom, as the people of the kingdom, we live by kingdom principles. Listen, that's what separates us. That's what makes us to be, according to Peter, a peculiar people, a strange people. That's what differentiates us. That's what identifies us as the people of the kingdom of God. Listen to this, Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, speak to the people of Israel, tell them, I'm the Lord your God. You must not do what the people of Egypt do. You used to live there. You must not do what the people of Canaan do. I'm bringing you into their land, but don't follow their practices. You must obey my laws. You must be careful to follow my rules. I am the Lord your God. Can I personalize that for us this morning? Paraphrase it for us this way. The word of the Lord. Say to New Life, hey, New Life, my brother, my sister, he is your God. You don't do, you must not do, you can't do what the people of the world do. You used to live there in the world. You used to belong to that, the world. You don't anymore. You don't follow its practices anymore. You obey him. You obey his laws. You are careful to follow his rules. Forget the world's rules. You follow his rules because he is the Lord your God. I recently heard one pastor share on this, emphasizing these four words. But as for you, do you understand? The world, it has its way. It does what it does. Here it is. Listen now. But as for you, You understand? You see the implied contrast, the implied command. You are different. You are separate from the world. You're not the people of this world. You're the people of God's kingdom. And because you are, but as for you, you live different. You do different. Leviticus 18 and verse 25, for the land has become defiled. Therefore, I have brought its punishment upon it. So the land has spewed out its inhabitants. But as for you, you are to keep my statutes and my judgments, shall not do any of these abominations, neither the native nor the alien who sojourns among you, so that the land will not spew you out, should you defile it, as it has spewed out the nations which were before you. Again, allow me to paraphrase and personalize. New Life, people of God, you're not Egyptian. You're not Canaanite. You're not even American. You're God's people. You belong to God's kingdom. So you live different then. You live by a different set of standards. You keep His statutes. You keep His judgments. You certainly do not follow the detestable practices of this world. This, but as for you, it's not just an Old Testament phrase. It's a New Testament one also. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things and of Christ Jesus to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand? This world, it's all about the money. But you're not of this world. You don't belong to it. You're not ruled by it. Listen. You're a people of His kingdom. And because you are, you don't chase the money. No, no way. You pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and gentleness. Money, forget the money. You fight the good fight of faith, my brother, my sister. That's what you do. You take hold of eternal life. You keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until Jesus returns. That's what you chase after. Because you're a kingdom people. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. 2 Timothy chapter 4. But as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. But as for you, do not grow weary of doing good. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting. Let me summarize it this way. Listen, the people of the kingdom of God, that's you and me. Now, for you and me, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. If we say that we are His, we must live as Jesus lived. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. In your lives, you must think and act like Christ Jesus. Do you understand? Listen, simply put, you belong to His kingdom, not this kingdom, not this world. And because you do, you live, you think, you act just like Jesus. When at the crossroads, when in the fight, a decision to be made, you don't choose what you want. You don't choose what's comfortable or easy. You don't choose what the world does, what the world would tell you you should do. No, not any of that. You choose His way. You choose to be like Him because you belong to Him. The kingdom of God, the people. Second this morning, the paradox. The kingdom of God is often confusing to us. It doesn't make sense to us. It's counterintuitive. It goes against the way we think things should go. It's everything we would think and know sort of turned upside down in reverse. By definition, a paradox, it's a statement, a proposition, or a situation that seems self-contradictory, absurd, or even impossible. In Matthew chapter 5, we read the beginnings of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He begins his message with what we call the Beatitudes. Some of them do make sense to us, but most don't. Listen to how the message reads. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. Verse 4. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Verse 5. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are. No more, no less. Verse 10. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. Do you understand? I imagine if asked this morning, all of us would respond, yes, we want God's blessing in and on our lives. Yes, we pray for God's blessing in and on our lives, probably every day. God, would you bless me? God, would you bless my family? God, would you bless my church? I would also imagine this morning, all of us would respond, no. I've never prayed that I come to the end of my rope. No, I have never prayed that I lose what's most dear to me. I pray for more all the time. I'm praying for more. No, I don't pray for contentment. I pray for salvation from trouble, from persecution. No, I don't pray for more of it. Do you understand? At the end of your rope, you're likely to think God has cursed you, not blessed you. In loss, in lack, in trouble, persecuted, mistreated, you're likely wondering why God has forsaken you, why God has bailed on you when you needed Him the most. But do you see? In the kingdom of God, that's where the blessing is at. It's interesting, the word blessing, it can be happy, really more than happy. It's happy again and again, happy. It's happy many times over. It's happy, happy, happy. Happy at the end of your rope? Happy in loss, in lack, in trouble? You say, no way. The kingdom says, that's exactly the way. It's counterintuitive for sure, isn't it? Confusing. Makes no sense. It's what we think. It's our way, the world's way. Turned completely upside down, isn't it? Seems contradictory, absurd, impossible. It's the paradox of the kingdom of God. John chapter 12 and verse 20. There were some Greeks among the people who went up to worship during the feast. They came to ask Philip for a favor. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew, then Andrew and Philip told Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to receive glory. It seems an odd response. Hey, Jesus, there's some Greek guys that have come and they would like to see you. And Jesus doesn't respond, bring them in. Jesus doesn't say, I'll meet with them at noon, invite them to lunch. Jesus says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to receive glory. This is amazing to see. Track with me on this. These Greeks, they weren't Jews. They're Gentiles, counted as unclean. You don't get in the temple. You don't get in with God. You don't get in on God's blessing, on God's help, on God's provision. You don't have access to any of it unless you're a Jew. These Greeks weren't. They're out. But here they are wanting to see Jesus. And when told these Gentiles coming to want to see Jesus, let me help you. We're getting there. Hold with me just for a minute. You'll get it. You'll start to see it. These Gentiles wanting to have a relationship with Jesus. These Gentiles wanting to talk with Jesus. When all of a sudden they show up, Jesus replies, the hour has come for the Son of Man to receive glory. Don't miss it. Whether you know it or not, I believe you actually know what's going on. Just maybe a matter of putting two and two together, as it were. You have the privilege of being on this side of the cross and the empty tomb. You know it. Listen, you may not be Greek, but you are a Gentile. Gentile, you know it, the Son of Man being glorified, so that whether Jew or Gentile, Greek or Roman, slave or free, the Son of Man being glorified, so that even all the world might come to Him and might know Him. Listen, you know, that's the cross. That's His broken body. That's His shed blood. Do you understand? Do you recognize the paradox this morning? How do you define glory? Maybe in the context of Jesus' day, we'd think like the disciples. It's military victory. It's the Romans defeated. It's Jesus the King, triumphant, ruling and reigning from Jerusalem, and all the people coming to pay homage to Him. Maybe we would think of glory in our day, our context. Maybe that's more money, more fame, more influence, more recognition, more promotion. But do you understand this morning? But in the kingdom, what's the glory? It's the cross. It's time for the Son of Man to be glorified. It's time for the Son of Man to go to Calvary and die there. One describes it this way, describes and defines clearly the paradox. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of paradox, where through the ugly defeat of a cross, a holy God is utterly glorified. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though He was God, He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, He gave up His divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When He appeared in human form, He humbled Himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. But listen, don't miss it, the paradox of the kingdom of God. But therein the glory. Glory. No way. Dying a criminal's death? There's no glory in that. It's backwards, isn't it? It doesn't make sense, does it? Listen, it's okay. We'll call it as it is. It's absurd. Glory by dying a criminal's death? That's impossible. No, but in fact, that's the way it was and is even for us. That's what makes it the paradox. Continuing in John, verse 24, what I'm about to tell you is true. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only one seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Listen to verse 25. Anyone who loves his life will lose it. Listen to what Jesus says. But anyone who hates his life in this world will keep it and have eternal life. No need to put two and two together to understand this, right? The paradox clearly revealed to us. Listen, it's in dying that we find life and live. I don't know if there's any other verse in all of Scripture that would act as a full-on assault, an attack against the prominent and preeminent worldview today. Again, do you see it? You see it. You hear it. What Jesus says. Anyone who loves his life loses it. That's all the world tells us that we're supposed to do. You have to love yourself. Even, in fact, to be a good Christian, you have to love yourself. Before you can love Jesus right, before you can love your neighbor right, you have to love yourself. You have to constantly remind yourself how wonderful you are, how good you are, how awesome you are. You have to build yourself up and up and up. Do you understand what Jesus says? Do that, and it's going to kill you in the end. So you hate your life. What? Hate your life? Don't you dare, the world would tell you. Don't you do it. That's not healthy. That's not good. That'll make you miserable. That'll mess everything up for you. You never mind what Jesus says. You're wonderful. You're perfect. You ought to love yourself the most. You do that. That's not the kingdom. You love your life, you lose it. You hate your life, you gain life. Eternal life. Listen, you understand? Surely you do. Listen, we see ourselves as God sees us. We know our identity in Him. Listen, take care of yourself. Rest well. Honor the Sabbath. Take a nap. Eat good. Exercise. Move more. Be healthy. Listen, get counseling. Help for your body and your mind. Yes, yes, yes to it all. But listen, and maybe really listen to this, especially in light of our self-care consumed world. Listen, the teaching of the kingdom and the reality of the Christian faith. Listen now, the more we turn inward rather than upward or even outward, the more things get broken and don't work. I know the world says no way. I know you think that's absurd. It's exactly the opposite of how it is. In fact, it's not. Jesus said it's not. So now I just remind you this morning, the very essence of sin, listen, it's self-centeredness. One says it this way, the more you make your life about you, the more miserable of a human being you're going to be, and even, in fact, the further from God you will be. This hating of our lives, this dying to self, one calls it the cardinal sin of our secular age. But in fact, it's the paradox of the kingdom. It's in the dying. It's by way of the dying that we find life. One says this, here's the kingdom of God position. I can die because I know that I'm not the point, but I know who the point is. And He has moved towards me with grace and compassion. In my death, He gives me His life. The German pastor and theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this, when Christ calls a man, He bids him come and die. I believe it to be the word and the work of the Lord today. He's calling some of us, maybe many of us, even all of us, to die a little bit more so that we can experience a little bit more intimacy with Him, a little bit more the joy and peace that He would bring, that He would offer, a little bit more the life that's found only in Him. The paradox of the kingdom, glory in the cross, the criminal's death, life in death. We don't have time this morning for the many more. In the kingdom, you give to receive. Ask the world to make sense of that. Impossible, but the kingdom. You give to receive. You serve to be great. You humble yourself to be exalted. You surrender to be victorious. You give up your rights in order to be free. In weakness, you find strength. You are made strong. Do you understand? It's counterintuitive. It's confusing like crazy. It doesn't make sense. It's what we think. It's our way. What the world would tell us is the right way. It's that turned completely upside down. For sure it is. It's contradictory, absurd, impossible. Listen, it's the paradox of the kingdom of God. We have to hurry. Number three this morning, the power. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. One says this, the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power, that is, in works and practice. God loves the doers of the word in faith and love, and not the mere hearers who, like parrots, have learned to utter certain expressions with readiness. Listen, isn't it true? We Christians, we sure know the word, and we sure know how to talk the word, but to live it, to do what it says, oh, how often we falter and fail. In that, I think of others. I know it's even more true of myself. All the time I hear from them, I know the word. I know the word. I know it says to do this, don't do that. I want to scream at them. You know it, but you're not doing it. It says do this. You're not. It says don't do that. You are. All of us so proud in what we know of the word, how we can talk the word, yet all too often not a one of us doing the word like we should. Listen, the reminder this morning, the kingdom of God is not mere knowing and or talking. It's power. It's power to do the word. Do you remember earlier, Matthew chapter 5? Listen, it's power to not resist an evil person. It's power to not hit back. It's power to give beyond what's been asked. Go further than what's expected. It's power to love your enemy. Pray for them, bless them, not curse them. Do you remember? But as for you, listen, the kingdom of God, it's power for you to obey His law, His commands, His word, unstained and free from reproach until Jesus comes. It's power for you to pursue, not just pursue, but even in fact to live in righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and gentleness. It's power for you to fight the good fight, take hold of eternal life. It's power for you to press on, to endure suffering, to be sober-minded, to fulfill your calling, to do the work of ministry. It's power, my brother, my sister, listen, it's power for you to not grow weary, instead to keep on doing good. It's power for you to talk right so that your words are fitting, so that your words always and only bring life, not death. It's power for you to live in peace and joy. Listen, my brother, my sister, it's power for you to live and act, to think, to be like Jesus. The kingdom of God, the people, the paradox, the power. Next this morning, the place and the privilege. John chapter 12, again, verse 26. Anyone who serves me must follow me. Where I am, my servant will also be. Your place in the kingdom, you follow him. You serve him. And with the place is the privilege. Let me say it this way. Your place in the kingdom, following Jesus. Serving Jesus. And listen now, your privilege in the kingdom, you know it. Listen, you get to follow Jesus. Listen, you get to serve Jesus. Number five this morning, the proclaiming one says this: we're called to advance the kingdom, not hold down the fort. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 1, we read it a bit ago. When Jesus called the 12, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons, cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Listen, my brother, my sister, go out and do like Jesus did. Preach that the kingdom of God is here. Maybe we should have combined this with the power. Let me say it this way. My brother, my sister, go out and declare to all you meet the kingdom of God has come. And let them experience that it has. Listen, drive out the demons. Cure the disease. Heal the sick. Do you understand? Listen, let me say it this way. Your kingdom of God preaching comes with kingdom of God authority. So go, my brother, my sister, preach the kingdom and destroy the devil's work. Number six this morning, the promise. Worldly thinking would have us to think, get the kingdom of God right and everything will be right in and for you. Get the kingdom of God right and you'll have all the money. You'll always and only have the best health, never sick, never in the hospital. Your marriage will be trouble-free. Your kids will be perfect. Your job, you'll love it all the time. You'll always be the one getting promoted. Every time there is a promotion, get the kingdom of God right, and life will be nothing but roses, bright and blue skies for you all of your days. That's a common thought in the world. Good people always and only get the good. Bad people always and only the bad. Here's the problem. That's not really what Scripture says at all. That's not really how it is in the kingdom of God. Listen, my brother, my sister, oftentimes this is our frustration. We're doing everything we know to do, living in and for the kingdom, and yet it seems everything is still falling apart. And that doesn't seem to measure up. It's not supposed to be that way, or so the world would tell us. Some of you are maybe here this morning, and there's a health crisis. Maybe not a health crisis. Maybe it's an ongoing health problem. It just won't go away. And you've assessed your life, and you're faithful to the Lord, and you're serving Jesus. You're living in the kingdom. You're doing the work of the kingdom, and you just don't understand. You just don't get it, and you're growing frustrated and frustrated. Maybe all around you, you're seeing the wicked prevail. You're seeing the wicked get richer, wealthier, and healthier, and all the stuff and all the rest. And you're wondering, Lord, what's going on? Jesus, where are you? I'm trying to live for you. I'm trying to live for the kingdom. But things seem to be getting progressively worse, not better. There's no answer. The heavens seem to be as brass. I seem to be running always again and again and again into the same wall. Listen, my brother, my sister, I encourage you with the word of the Lord today. Hold on. Don't give up. Don't give in. There's a promise that awaits you. The promise of Scripture related to the kingdom of God. It's not the money, though the Lord blesses with money. Amen? He does. You know He does. It's not health and wealth. The Lord blesses with health. Amen? Come on, Lori. Amen? You've been healed. You've been touched by the Lord. The Lord has made you well. The promise of Scripture related to the kingdom, it's not promotion, it's not fame and fortune. It's not everything just perfect all the time, no trouble, no struggle. It's not that, rather it's this. Back to John 12, verse 26. Listen, you'll hear the hold on. Don't give up, don't give in. My Father will honor the one who serves me. This is now. This is the kingdom now, right now. There's no promise of all the rest. There is the promise of this. The Father will honor you. My brother, my sister, in the health crisis, in the health problem that just won't quit, the pain that just won't go away, listen. Your faithfulness to your King and to be a people of His kingdom, the Father honors you this morning. You know it like I do. Listen, world, you keep the money. You keep the fame. You keep the fortune. I want to be honored by my Father. This is now and this is to come. Listen, my brother, my sister, hold on. Don't give up. Don't give in. Get the kingdom right. And one day, soon and very soon, a coming day, all is said and done. Listen, my brother, my sister, you in the health crisis, you in the financial need, you banging the wall all the time. What's going on, Lord? One day you will stand before Him and your Father, He will honor you with His eternal reward. We finish this morning. The kingdom of God, the people, the paradox, the power, the place and privilege, the proclaiming, the promise. Finally, number seven, the pursuit. We end simply where we began. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. More than anything else, let His kingdom, put His kingdom, make His kingdom to be first in your life. One says this, if you've not chosen the kingdom of God first, it will in the end make no difference what you have chosen instead. My brother, my sister, choose wisely today. Choose the kingdom of God today. Be its people. Embrace its paradox. Experience its power. Know your place and your privilege. Proclaim it boldly. Prepare for the promise of His honor and pursue it more than anything, more than everything else. Father, would you help us in that this morning? As you remind me, as you remind this, your people today, the kingdom of God, would you speak to our hearts? I have no doubt, God, throughout the message this morning, somewhere along the way, maybe many places along the way, your Spirit was prompting us. Your Spirit was speaking to us. That's for you. That's what you need to hear in this moment. It's the kingdom of God. It's all about the kingdom. Lord, I pray it simply this morning. May our ears be open to hear your word. May our ears be open. May our hearts be receptive and responsive to your word this morning. Help us, Lord, I pray. Help us to respond rightly to the kingdom of God. Just for a moment, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Take a moment with Jesus. Would you do that? Listen, you have to respond to the kingdom this morning. You have to respond to the kingdom. My brother, my sister, you know what the Spirit has spoken to you. You know. Maybe you needed the reminder this morning. Yes, you have given your life to Jesus. You thought the people of the kingdom were all the Christians that had it all together, that were perfect, sinless. You thought the people of the kingdom was the preacher. You thought the people of the kingdom, oh, sure, it's all the missionaries. It's all the elderly saints that are just wonderful and perfect and don't ever struggle and don't ever sin. People of the kingdom, that's not me. But you hear it this morning. Listen, my brother, my sister, you've given your heart to Jesus. Yes, you are. You're the people. Maybe some of you need to be reminded of that this morning. Maybe some of you have been struggling. Maybe some of you have been listening too much to the lies of the devil. Him reminding you of who you used to be. But that's who you used to be. You're not that people anymore. You're a people of the kingdom. Maybe the reminder this morning, you're not a people of this world. I wonder, my brother, my sister, do you sense it like I do? Too much of the world in this man. Too much of the world. Jesus, this is where I begin. I'm sorry. Too much of the world in me. Too much of the world's ways in me. Too much of the world's thoughts in me. Too much of the world's attitude in me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Remind me this morning, I don't belong to this world. I'm a people of the kingdom. What else, my brother, my sister? What is the Spirit of the Lord speaking to you? What is the Spirit of the Lord speaking to you? I sensed it even as I was sharing it. I believe there's one or two in the room. I pray for you this morning, my brother, my sister, that you not give up. I prayed this morning that you are restored in hope. There is a promise that awaits you. My brother, my sister, the people of the kingdom, there is a promise that awaits you. Your Father honors you today, and He will honor you before His throne one day to come. Do you hear that? Do you hear that, my sister? The turmoil inside, the pain, the health, the family, the finances, my brother. Do you hear it this morning? Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't lose hope. Your Father honors you. Your Father honors you. Listen, I speak it as the word of the Lord to you. Your Father honors you today, and He honors you a day to come when you'll stand before Him. What else? My brother, my sister, what else? What does the Spirit of the Lord speak to you today about the kingdom of God? Jesus, help us to get the kingdom right. Help us to respond rightly to what you speak to us this morning by way of your word. May we be changed. May the kingdom of God, your rule and your reign over my life, over Jenny's life, over the life of my children, over my brother, my sister, over this church. May your rule and reign be like it's never been before. More and more, better and better than it's ever been before. Lord, we pray that this morning in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Would you stand to your feet? Would you lift your hands this morning? Let me pray the blessing of the Lord over you before you leave. Listen, my brother, my sister, hear the word and the will of the Lord this morning. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you, be good and gracious to you. The Lord turn to you and give to you His peace. Make His kingdom to come alive inside of you. In Jesus' name, would you receive that blessing? Would you say amen? Amen and amen. God bless you this morning.